Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch on the other side of the glass. John's engineering and producing our show as we welcome you to the Buckmaster program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio for Friday, the 21st of February, 2020. Today is National Cinnamon Roll Day, which that's going to come in handy a bit later here in about 10 minutes when I tell people about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. We are live during the noon hour on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, the editor and founder of that online Tucson news service, is with me in studio today, so I can thank him personally. Thank you, Dylan, as you are now embarking into your 11th year. You've got 10 full years with the Sentinel.
Indeed. Always great to be here. Thank you.
Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan Shear is with us. Dan's the editor of those two publications. Dan, thank you for your support pretty much since day one over 9 years ago with our project here.
Absolutely.
The Tucson Local Media Group supports us. They have a portfolio of publications that includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oral Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Democrat Chris Nanos is with us. Mr. Nanos is looking for a rematch against Republican Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. Napier won the race in 2016 after Chris Nanos, who had been appointed to the job, found his upper leadership embroiled in FBI investigations regarding a misuse of RICO funds. Chris Nanos was appointed to the sheriff's position by the Pima County Board of Supervisors. I believe, Chris, it was mid-August 2015. Is that about right?
Yes, sir.
To replace Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. And Sheriff Dupnik, my gosh, I think he was pretty much the longest serving sheriff of a big city, over four decades. Long time.
Yes. I want to say 38, 39
years.
Yeah,
right around 40 years. Amazing. Yeah. Joining me in the conversation with the sheriff, Dan Shear, as I mentioned, Dan, not only is he busy with the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, he's very busy traveling the country, mainly the western United States, as if Dan didn't have enough to do running the two publications there south of Tucson. He's been traveling all over because he's now the editorial director for two dozen newspapers owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. So he's a very busy guy. I hope he's getting frequent flyer miles.
I just signed up, actually.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you need to be on board. And Dylan Smith, Dylan is very busy as well, not only with his duties with Sentinel. He's the vice president of the Arizona Press Club. He's the immediate past chair of Lion Publishers, an acronym for Local Independent Online News Publishers. And Dylan, is it safe to say that this group is growing around the country and the world?
Yeah, definitely. It's a bunch of folks who run, like the Sentinel, local, both for-profit and non-profit. The Sentinel's a non-profit, but we have a whole mix of members trying to rebuild the news business in local communities all over the country, trying to, fix the news business from the ground up. We've heard so much, over the past decade, and especially over the past couple of months, about how newspapers are challenged. These giant legacy chains that are controlled by hedge funds that often aren't even from this country that are making decisions, and that has really, been a disaster.
All right, let's move on. Sheriff Nanos, and I think we can still refer to you as a sheriff because you have one of those titles, once a sheriff, always a sheriff. So, anyway, why now? Why would you like to have this rematch? Did you feel there's unfinished business?
No, I don't look at it that way, unfinished business. I don't even look at it as a rematch. That almost sounds like we're in a fight. And I met Mark and I speak for myself, but I hope he did too. And we both came to a mutual respect for each other during the transition of handing the department over. Mm-hmm. The reason, if I may, the reason I'm running is really quite simple. I kid about that, this retirement business is really tough. I tore my meniscus. I've broken my foot. I recently did it again. And it's like I'm wearing house slippers, so don't look at my shoes. it's too tough. It's too hard to get old. So, but that's not the truth. The real truth is, you know, Mark, like anybody, we struggle in those positions, and you have employees who are dissatisfied. But they gave Mark a vote of no confidence. And those employees, the two largest associations, and other members of the department that aren't members of the associations, talked to me and called me up and asked me if I would run. And that was key to me, because I felt like it'd be silly to want to take over the leadership of an organization that doesn't want you.
Saying if those groups were happy,
yes,
then it would
I never planned to run again. I was, you know, traveling and
in
doing
fact,
things.
Yeah,
and
you
a good
told
time.
Dan
yeah.
Shear on an exit interview at the Green Valley News. What was the quote, Dan Shear?
I asked you if you'd ever consider running again, and the quote was no, absolute no. you're coming off a pretty bad year,
okay.
But you did make it clear to me that you intended to remain in.
So he wasn't ruling it out, is what you're saying.
I still have the tape, by the way, so don't deny it.
Did I tell you I wasn't a politician? I still believe that I'm not a politician, and I understand people say, well, if you're not a politician, why are you running for sheriff? And, you know, it doesn't hurt to have over 40 years of experience behind you. And really, I look at that experience as 20 years of it was on the street, either 10 in patrol or 12 years as a detective. But the last almost 15 to 20 years was in executive management positions, where you really grow through the organization and you learn the intricacies and all the things that you hope to be able to help you mm-hmm. manage mm-hmm. that large organization. So that had something to do with it, but I think the biggest part of it was in December, a billboard went up, and somebody sends me a photo, a text, one of the guys, and I, you know, you're 30, 40 years, you're going to have relationships. And the guy sends it, and I kind of laughed. I said, oh, cool, Photoshop, blah, blah, blah. And they said, no, this is real, that there are deputies in the field right now driving by, taking pictures. And I thought, wow, well, where is it at? It's right across from the sheriff's office. And I thought, oh, my
and
goodness.
Who put it up?
Well, and that's what's interesting. I just assumed, nobody knew, I just assumed that it was the associations, because they had talked to me mm-hmm. a couple of months mm-hmm. prior that they wanted me to run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it said at the bottom something about...
paid by who?
No, that was, it was something about the employees of the Pima County Sheriff's Department. So it wasn't an association, it was just
weird.
Their employees, but
that's
it could have been... I just always assumed it was that. Now the rumors start flying.
Yeah.
More important to that was to me that it said that they wanted a new leader and they wanted Nanos back. And mm-hmm. I talked with my wife and we discussed it. And, you know, it is family. I even recently was talking with my wife about, gosh, it's so hard for me to say this. I'm going to be... 60. I'm 64. I'm going to be 60. I'm going to Medicare. Oh, my goodness. And I said, you know, I've spent more time, and I have a large family, 10 kids in our family. I spent more time in my years of life with my wife and with this organization than I did with my natural family.
All right, let's bring our friends in. Dylan, do you want to jump in here?
Yeah.
Please.
So you're saying that your decision to... run again and try and get back in that seat was prompted, one, by a billboard put up for about 3 days by parties unknown to pretty much anybody but the folks who put it up and the billboard company who got paid to have it up there, presumably, and a no-confidence vote by the deputies union. Isn't it true that the number of folks who vote in that union, who actually take part in those decisions, is a small, just a tiny fraction of the overall personnel in the department?
So I don't know the voting numbers, but I will say this. It's hypocritical to sit back and say, I received an endorsement from this big, strong union during the election year, and then 3 years later, after you've promised them that, hey, if you don't like what I've done, I'll step down, and they come back and they tell you, we don't like what you've done, please step down. It's more.
You're talking about Mark Napier.
I am.
His relationship with the union.
That's in the vote of no confidence, mm-hmm. and the letter to him was, you said you'd step down. I think it's hypocritical to be able to say these are powerful people during election time. They really represent the whole organization, and then to be dismissive when they go against you.
Well, I think that's Dylan's question.
I have a follow-up. When you were sheriff,
yeah.
They didn't hold a formal no-confidence vote,
no.
But they came to a decision about your administration and basically publicly announced that they did not have confidence in you. They called it a no-confidence decision.
I do not recall that. What I recall is, and that's one of the things Mark had said here on this show, and that I'm glad to have this opportunity, was that, oh, no-confidence votes happen all the time. Sheriff Nanos saw one. Sheriff Dupnik had one. It's happened. That is not the case. Sheriff Dupnik had a no-confidence vote in, I believe, 2004, 2005. It did not pass. I never had a no-confidence vote. What happens is, and I think we all know the difference of an endorsement versus no-confidence. More important to me is this. If the department employees, and I'm going beyond just the unions, because I hear from all employees, if the employees are saying, we prefer you to this person, that says a lot.
Dan?
It was an endorsement vote by them, but that is not the same as a no confidence, but it's darn close. What have you seen happen in the last 3 years that you say, you know what, I need to step back in and correct this? What has happened in the last 3 years? And we should point out that you were in office 15, 16 months,
yes,
in the top role, and it was hellacious. It was just turmoil from start to finish for lots of reasons.
So the last 3 years, what I've seen or heard, first of all, the first couple of years, I just really didn't pay much attention to anything because, you know, you just hear from those that are your friends,
sure,
and they're going to talk to you in a positive light. But as time went on and unfolded, and I think even last night there was a story on, when your agency, when your employees have to speak from the shadows and are afraid to come out, that says a lot as well. When I have employees who put up a billboard and anonymously and then deny that, well, we don't know who did it, and there's rumors about this, and yet your sheriff comes to you. The billboard went up December, right? The first week of December, came down that week, and here we are in the middle of January to late January, and the sheriff is still walking the halls wanting to know who put that billboard up. What does that say to you? Who took it down was the question I was asked.
Did you have anything to do with the billboard?
No.
But a couple weeks later, you announced that you're going to be in the race.
Yes, that would have been right, 16
okay.
days later.
So let's go back to 2016 and just kind of recap here. You had a chief of staff and a chief deputy who people just didn't like within the department, and they felt like you were clueless to the fact that morale was through the floor and were not paying attention to this. One of them ends up going down on some charges related to RICO. Bragg. Gagnon-Payne killed himself on a street corner, which was awful. You had a sergeant who had announced that he was going to run for sheriff, and then you put him on unpaid leave, and that looked suspicious to some people. You had a lot of issues going on. Afterward, you told me that there were pots of money that was used for petty cash that you didn't even know existed. There was a lot of things going on. The two of your very top people also were talking to the FBI, and you weren't aware of it. I mean, it's just like kind of a Keystone Cops thing going in. How much of that did you inherit, and how much of that did you create?
Wow. I don't know.
In about a minute, too, because we're really tight on time. Do you want to hold
sure,
your answer maybe
sure.
for this?
Yeah, sure.
Because rather than – we'll want to do that justice. But right now, Chris Nanos, who is with us in studio. Chris, I want to talk about cinnamon rolls and Danish Kringles, stuff like that, right? Right, Dylan?
So we need to pin this down. You sent me an email – this morning, reminding me that it was National Cinnamon Bun Day.
Well,
now you're saying it's National Cinnamon Roll Day. Well, which is it? And is there actually a functional difference between a cinnamon bun and a cinnamon roll?
There you go, the newsman getting real... all right, I'll come clean, Dylan.
Hey, Chris Nanos, you need to clear this up for us.
No,
this is the burning question
of
the day.
It is actually National Sticky Bun Day. You really did get me on this one, Dylan.
More confusion.
I will just leave that one there.
Can I stretch that a little bit by saying in many parts of the country, a sticky bun is synonymous, Dan Scheer, with what? A cinnamon roll.
Yeah, you know what? I just go to Mona's and just get whatever's there.
That's right.
But it's going to be good.
They have a nice everything. Variety of cinnamon rolls. They've got the big ones, the sticky bun, whatever. But the Danish Kringle, of course. Someone posted, actually, Dylan, on the Facebook yesterday, an individual who was looking for a Danish Kringle up in Racine, Wisconsin, your old kind of stomping grounds. And I jumped in and said, you don't need to go to Racine, Wisconsin for a Danish Kringle. Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle.
There we go.
And that's indeed. That's your old area there, Wisconsin.
Indeed. And I grew up on the other side of the state, but I can't remember the name of the bakery right now, but there's a bakery in Racine that is famed for its Kringles. People ship them all over the place. And I do have to say that Mona's is just as good, if not just a little bit better.
Ooh, there you go. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, there's a link at buckmastershow.com. Chris Nanos is with it. Former Pima County Sheriff is in studio, and we'll be back with Chris Nanos and Dan Scheer and Dylan Smith right after we take a break. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Friday Focus interview today. Chris Nanos, former Pima County Sheriff, who would like to be the sheriff again. He's going to be running for that office. Dan Scheer is here from Green Valley News and Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. And Dan, why don't you, could you quickly set the table again? Because it is radio. People are the noon hour is kind of like a mini drive. People are getting in and out of cars. Set the table again.
Clear that Kringle out of your way and then set the table.
Set the table so the so Sheriff Nanos can have an opportunity to respond.
Well, you just had a very rough 2016, and we went over some of that regarding leadership issues, morale issues in the department, legal issues. And I simply asked, did you inherit a lot of that, or did you create some of it? Because you were in office a very short time.
Well, first of all, I will accept full responsibility for all of those things that you referred back to in 2016. It is upon me. I took that job knowing that as the leader of the organization, you have to be accountable and responsible. And so I'll leave the inheritance issue to you and the listening audience, the voters, to decide. I really believe that it was a great opportunity given to me. And unfortunately, and trust me, I learned a lot that Chris Nanos does make mistakes. I've always known that, but they're typically mistakes of the head, never of the heart. The most disappointment I had over the whole thing was to learn how bad morale was and that my team wasn't behind me. It really was. That just, all the other stuff you can live with. But to know that you spent a lifetime, literally my entire adult career, doing what you thought was always the right thing, the best thing to do, in not just as a cop, but as a human being, and to know that people weren't satisfied with that effort hurts. And it's to this day, it still does. But I'm encouraged, and I'm... You know, we talk about the billboard. I think, Dylan, you might have said, well, or maybe it was you, Dan, that, well, they put up a billboard and 2 weeks later you decide to run. But it was humbling. It really was humbling to me to know that, you know, there's still people there who believe that. I don't know. You know, I know that I know the organization, and I know the ins and outs and all of those things. But more importantly, I know the people and they know me. And they have got confidence that I can come back and bring this department back to a place of where they want, where they have been treated. You know, it's one thing to respect the rights of others, but to protect them is important.
Here's
as well.
Dylan Smith. Dylan, jump in.
I've got a couple of questions. So
please, I'm sorry.
One just sort of a comment, I guess. I guess it would be, you know, not unreasonable, not unfair to suggest that you should have known what was going on in your department about some of these things that turned out to be actually illegal, people breaking the law in the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and maybe you should have done something about it, knowing about it. But a lot of that stuff, especially around the misuse, embezzlement basically of RICO funds, started long before you were sheriff or even elevated to chief deputy. But maybe you didn't have your ear to the ground enough about you know, what people were doing.
Obviously. I mean, you want to believe you know your organization in and out. You know it's the people you know what's going on. You want to believe that. But it's like I was telling Dan, and it's probably a very poor analogy, but when I was in child abuse, sex crimes, we interviewed families that you know, some poor child was abused, and oftentimes it was a close relative. And the rest of the family was like, that can't happen. That's I know this. It's my brother. It's my uncle. It's my dad. He would never do that. And that's kind of how this hit me, because these were friends of mine. They were my family members. So why would I ever believe they would do that?
I kind of want to bring this back now to, we kind of been spending a lot of time on 2016, but I kind of want to bring it back. And earlier in the interview, Dan Scheer brought up the fact that what is it about Sheriff Napier currently that you disagree with? And I kind of like to bring that back about issues.
Stone Garden, especially. That's what I've been wanting to ask after we get past the old issues. Let's talk about what people are talking about.
Right. What about Stone Garden? Would you differ with the sheriff?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With Sheriff Napier on that?
So one thing is, and you can look back, I think it was Kerlikowski was the Homeland Security Director, and he came down here on two occasions. And both times, as even Governor Doug Ducey did, if you recall, he had a border task force, mm-hmm. and he wanted to put his highway patrol officers and other our deputies and everybody at the border to enforce the border issues. And I was the only sheriff in all of Arizona to stand up and say to the governor and to Mr. Kerlikowski that I object to that, that we will take care of our problems in Pima County. I don't need another agency to come in and tell me what my problems are. I understand Sheriff Napier's wanting more money. Who doesn't? I think where Sheriff Napier missed the point is it's not so much the money. It is the mission of the agency. Our agency's mission is not to be along the border enforcing federal laws. Steve Christie made a point, Board of Supervisors, that was very clear. It was in the Arizona Star, I believe. The migrant issue is a federal issue. The federal government should pay for it, deal with it, handle it. He was referring to those migrants that...
Housing migrants.
Salinas, all those.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I volunteered for Casa Salinas. I saw those families, and it is heartbreaking.
So you think it's a federal issue? So you're very
Absolutely.
Much
I've always said
different
that.
Opinion on
but,
Stone.
But
Guard.
You took the money for a dozen years.
No. So here's the thing: the money came to us, and I gave a large portion of our money to Santa Cruz County Sheriff Estrada because his budget, he really had a border issue, and I didn't need that money. It's less than 1% of the budget. To me, it was a matter of, you're costing me money. I made that point hundreds of times with Mr. Huckleberry and the board. The money isn't the issue. Here's what happens, though. They hamstring you, or maybe that's a bad word. The federal government, in 2007, 2008, I think the Pima County Board... quit giving raises. It was just a tough time for everybody. And so you had deputies not getting, they gave up their steps and all that. So from that year all the way to when I was in office, 2016, nobody's seen raises, very little raises of any kind. Here you have a carrot by the federal government saying, hey, we could give you overtime, free overtime. The sheriff is sitting there going, really, I'm going to take that away from these guys when they're not getting raises? It's a hard decision. Because that's their extra money.
Okay,
the only
we're
way
quickly
they can make it.
Running out of time. Dan, is there some sorry. Other issues that do you think, Stone Garden, whatever?
Do you think Sheriff Napier is at a rougher time because he is a Republican in a Democrat-dominated county? You do not?
No, because I'm not hearing citizens say Sheriff Napier's doing bad things. I'm hearing his employees saying it. And I'm just speculating. I know cops. I'm going to bet most of them are more to the conservative side than the liberal side. Making a pretty broad statement there, I don't know its accuracy, but I'm just saying the problems for Sheriff Napier that I'm seeing, that I'm hearing about and witnessing, are from his own team, not from the community. Are there community problems that decisions he's made that I believe he's made that impact the community? Are they hurting us? I believe so. But that's probably for another talk show.
So this is what's driving this, in summary here, Dan, Dylan, and Chris. What's driving your candidacy is you feel the internal workings of the people working at the Sheriff's Department want a change in leadership. Am I kind of right on it?
Correct.
That's kind of the bottom line here.
Bill, yeah. I'm telling you, I would not run for this agency if the department did not want me there. There's no reason. Other than injuring myself, I do enjoy retirement, and I've had a good time.
Yeah.
I'm still, like Dan said, I'm still involved in the community in a lot of ways. I do volunteer for a lot of organizations that I think are important to us. But yeah.
But we have, okay, so we have these agencies who are saying, yeah, come back, we need you, we want you. But in 2016, they weren't there for you. And I'm wondering, are you all that was available? As far as running, I mean, don't they have anybody else to?
Dan, I'm sitting right here.
I'm just saying that. Were you the best thing they had? So did you ask him that?
No, I did not ask.
Should we leave it on that? No, I know, Dan.
No, you know, I do have an opponent in the primary, and it is Kevin. And, Kevin and I have had our differences, but I do like Kevin as a human being, and I think he's a good man, but I don't think he's experienced. I don't think he has the qualifications I have, but that, too, will be played out.
And, Dylan, you get a chance to jump in.
I'll ask the question in a slightly different way. You're talking about you think this is, you know, you're being called to do this by the members of the department.
Correct.
It is a vote by all of the citizens of Pima
Absolutely.
County who we choose to be the sheriff and be
Absolutely.
To head up that department. You're saying you don't have many policy issues with Napier. What are you going to what are you going to use to convince me and Dan and everybody else listening that you would do specific things differently than the current sheriff?
Well, one, I think I would stay home. I think Sheriff Napier, policy issues, there's some big policy issues. I think the sheriff has missed the mark on his staffing, on addressing the staff. People are leaving that department in numbers that are just tremendous, huge numbers. And it's because morale is low, not because unemployment is low. He can't hire people. Mark made a decision, and this is just one policy I'll talk about.
To
fund the new hires. What he failed to recognize was the attrition rate. It wasn't a hiring problem. It was a retention problem. You have to stop the bleeding before you can ever hire people. So go back there and see, why are people leaving? And it is because morale.
I'm going to have to leave it right there. Chris, thank you very much. Chris
thank
Nanos.
You. Thank you, Bill,
with
for
us on the Buckmaster Show for a very lively discussion. We'll have Dan Scheer and Dylan Smith stick around. We'll have a few comments for our roundtable portion of the program. But right now, it's Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll take a break and be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We had our Friday Focus interview with Chris Nanos. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. And Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. People in the news. This is a headline from Mr. Smith's publication. Unleashed at New Post. Farley no longer dogged by political defeats. We're talking about former state lawmaker Steve Farley, and I'm really glad for Steve because being an animal welfare advocate myself, he has a new job that sounds kind of fun. CEO, Dylan, of the Humane Society.
The here. Humane Society yeah. of Southern Arizona, so which seems to be a pretty good fit for him.
You know, yeah, I think
he's
so.
Not governor.
No.
He's not the mayor of Tucson, no longer in the state legislature, but I mean, really, he gets to hang out with a bunch of wagging tails
yeah,
all day long.
How do you beat that?
I mean, that sounds like a pretty solid
especially
game to me.
In a community, and you know this very, very well, a community that really does care about animals.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Other people in the news, I've got one for you guys. And I think, Dan, you didn't even realize that former Pima County Supervisor Mike Boyd had filed on February the 10th, I believe, to be a Republican in that seat, very crowded congressional district number 2 race.
Well, I knew he was in. I just didn't know that he was out.
Well, he is out.
I didn't even know he was actually in until he was out.
So
that was pretty quick.
Yeah.
I know Mike, and he sent me a message, I think, day before yesterday and said, Bill, I'm withdrawing.
Yeah,
I am not going to be a candidate in that race due to a health issue. So we hope everything is well with Mike. So that, I don't know, last count, 8 candidates maybe, Dylan?
There was another 8 or 9, who dropped out, and her name is not popping into my head right now.
She had 3 names. And they were unique. Yes,
3
I
names.
Do remember that.
No, not that candidate.
Okay. another one?
Justine Wonsack. She also dropped out and is now wants to run for supervisor, something else.
Oh,
she,
wow.
Or no, a legislative seat she decided to focus on instead of the congressional seat.
Anybody can announce their candidacy. I could announce right now, but
are you going to?
No.
Yeah.
Everyone
well, what's
have
he,
to get
dog catcher.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a really important point, Bill. And we have to wrestle with that. Is like, when do you put it out there?
These candidates, wanting publicity. They want to come on the radio. They want to get in the newspaper right now.
They're floating
the
these trial balloons and
do
using
you
us.
Have the signatures now? That are going to put you on the... Are you going to be a candidate in, April?
Whatever? Absolutely.
Which is what it takes. That's to actually get yourself on the ballot so people can vote for you. You not only have to Well, first off, you know, file as a candidate, and a lot of these people don't even file when they're floating their trial balloons. Yeah. But you need to get out there and yourself and your volunteers, and
right.
if you have enough money, the people who you pay to stand around in parking lots, yeah. gather signatures to get you on the ballot, to actually make you a real candidate.
And granted, the publicity that you would get on yes. an interview on the radio would certainly help, I would think, to help maybe yeah. in the signature candidate.
But this puts us in an awkward position, because you know a Chris Nanos is going to get his signatures. You
yes.
know it. He has a track record.
Yes.
And but then if someone else were to call and say, hey, Bill, I'm collecting my signatures. You don't know him
no.
or her. You
no.
never, have no track record. They've not held elective office. What do you do? You're going to turn them down.
Yeah.
And so we're in this odd position.
Yes, very much so.
And so just so people understand out yeah. there that there are certain hurdles, and a lot of people don't get across the second one, which is the signatures.
Okay. Green Valley News. Ray Carroll's in the news down in your town.
Yeah. So we have a lot of evictions that are filed in the Ray is the Justice of the Peace down in our area for the Green Valley Court, and he was saying that a lot of eviction notices or claims are filed up in Tucson, which means that the property owner and the person being evicted have got to go up there. And for people being evicted, a lot of them are in financial straits already. Getting to Tucson
yeah.
is rough.
Not easy.
For those of us who just go back and forth all the time and don't think of it, it's nothing. But for them, it is. And so he pushed and was successful. And I should say that Lisa Royal before him as in that position also had pushed for it to get these filings now transferred down to Green Valley, where it's they have a little better shot of actually making it to court and working through things. So
how big of an area does that cover? Does it?
Our court is a huge area. I don't know exactly the.
So is it basically everything in that precinct?
Yeah.
In that justice precinct,
yes,
essentially?
Yes, and our story, which you can find at gvnews.com, has got all the numbers as far as how many filings there were. And
it was a significant number that were being filed in Tucson rather than closer to home.
Correct. And that's where the lawyers are, too, is in Tucson. And it makes it a lot easier for them.
They like
and
it.
I don't care. I don't care if they like it. They should be done down in our precinct, because that's where it's
happening.
What's
this rumor about El Tour would be going down through Green Valley?
Well, we've confirmed that at least they are talking and trying to figure out a new route for El Tour. And it's, of course, a 25, 50, and 100-mile race. And the 100-mile would come down through our area. It's been mentioned at some meetings, which is why we've known about this for months, but it's where we can say, okay, it's kind of sort of out there. But there's absolutely nothing solid about it. No decision's been made, no details, but they are talking to Green Valley and Sahuarita and about bringing looping it down there. So we'll see if this actually happens and what it means. And I will tell you, it's a very bike-friendly community, but I can tell you also that thousands of cyclists coming through are going to clog things, yes. and we'd rather just remain in Tucson. So, but I'm not, and that's not me saying we don't want it. I'm just saying that it is one of the considerations, is that it's very disruptive to bring an event like that to a community, but it also can have lots of benefits, or they're doing the cost-benefits analysis right now.
Did you have a local person up at that Trump rally?
I sure did. The Trump rally was on Wednesday,
yeah.
and on Monday I got an email from someone that said, hey, I might have some news for you on Thursday. And I said, that is cruel.
Yeah.
So what it turns out is that Yvette Serino, many know her as Yvette Gonzalez. She has been on American Idol. She lives
really?
In Sarita. She's very, very good. Wonderful singer.
Huh.
Ended up singing the national anthem at the Trump rally. So I talked to her at length yesterday and kind of got the whole story. Like, how do you land a gig like that?
Uh-huh.
And so the story will be posted probably later on today. But there's a little bit of elbowing people, talking to people, and friending them on Facebook and getting them your tape. And her goal is to do even more than that for perhaps seeing at the inauguration, if there is a Trump inauguration next year. And we'll see what happens. But I will tell you this, go on to our site later today, read that story and click on it, because, man, she's got a set of pipes. She's
Dylan,
great.
Does it help a candidate to be primaried? We've had this discussion in the past. I'm talking about Martha McSally's going to have a primary opponent. Or does it help a Mark Kelly who's going to just go right into the general?
It really depends, I think, on the nature of the primary. If you're, perceived as the stronger candidate in the primary, especially if you're the incumbent, maybe it's good for you to have a primary candidate who's just good enough for you to hone your message and to, you know, really, you know, help you hone your chops for the coming general.
Kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want somebody who's such a, you know,
the
a
Washington
terrible...
National... No, I don't think they were called the Washington Generals. I think they were the team that they
were. You know, like, everybody has a primary opponent, but, you know, they can... They're generally, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, fringe candidates and perennial candidates and people who are, you know... No actual threat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have somebody who's such a good primary candidate that they might actually beat you, because then you actually have to start spending a lot of money, right? You want to have somebody who's right in that sweet spot to make you look good, and so you can be the winner of your primary.
And someone like a Captain Kelly who has not run before, maybe it can help in a primary.
Yeah, I agree. And we have an example of this from 2018, Leah Marquez Peterson running as a Republican in CD2. She had three challengers. She didn't debate them and looked like she was running away from them. And frankly, she could have used the practice. Mm-hmm. And everyone knew she was going to win that primary.
Good point.
Yeah, she didn't win it by as much as they thought, but she did win it. And
well, she did debate them. She just debated them in front of small, hand-picked groups in which the press and the public were not allowed to attend or pay any attention to it.
But we still found out about it and we got some tape out of it and everything. But no, for the most part, though, it wasn't good, and this would have been a great opportunity for her. And I think that was kind of the real fatal flaw in her
campaign. All right, guys, we're going to have to wrap it up. And Dan, it's always a pleasure to have you
in the
studio. You're so busy all the time, flying around up to the Dakotas for your newspapers up there, a small town near Baton Rouge. You've got a property. I mean, you're all over the map.
11 states.
11 states. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Dylan, thanks.
Absolutely.
All right. We've got Weekend Watch coming up next. Get a jump start on the weekend from Matt Russell. Also going to hear about Matt's cruise that was announced at an event that I was at last Sunday at the Bon Voyage travel show up in Oro Valley. Be right back.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
All right, baby, stir it up. There it is. That music signals the weekend is officially here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. How about a road trip? Just a three-hour drive from Tucson to a beautiful area of the southwestern corner of the Land of Enchantment. Good starting place, Southwest New Mexico. Spell it all out. .org. There you will find all sorts of recreation ideas and all sorts of ideas of places to stay. Again, southwestnewmexico.org for all of your trip planning to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The longtime host of Weekend Watch is Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Bill. Always fun to chat with you on a gorgeous Friday as we jumpstart the weekend.
A lot of people jumpstart the weekend over at General Benz. Anything going on over at the Benz?
Absolutely. Tonight, actually, is Friday Night Live right here at Main Gate Square, and they're going to be doing some great free concerts tonight by local and regional bands up on the second floor of General Benz, and they're going to be taking donations for some wildlife rescue efforts in Australia, you know, a big issue down there, and they're going to be taking some donations to support those projects. It starts at 6 o'clock tonight, and of course, Bill, since it is General Benz, expect the full spectrum of beers from Barrio Brewing Company to be available throughout the show. Plus, and this is just my opinion, you can't go to General Benz without getting a Black and Blue burger, of course, with that Cajun spice crust and gorgonzola crumbles. It's craft beer and cuisine for a cause at Friday Night Live tonight.
What's going on at the Catalyst?
So you may have seen those professional coffee tasters on the Food Network and Cooking Channel loudly slurping their coffee to pick out certain flavor profiles. Well, that's called cupping. And the folks at Catalyst Arts at the Tucson Mall, they're going to be hosting a coffee cupping demonstration tomorrow morning at 10:30, where you can learn how the pros do it with one of my favorite local roasteries, Yellow Brick Coffee. No coincidence, Bill, that's just a stone's throw away from where you're sitting right now.
Yes, it is.
Village Studio. This class is tomorrow morning at the Tucson Mall for some coffee cupping. It's going to be a blast.
A lot of people talk so highly about Miss Saigon.
Yes, and local jazz legend Tony Frank is going to be bringing his ensemble downtown on Sunday evening for another in his series of Saigon Sunday sessions at the downtown location of Miss Saigon on 6th Avenue. Now, Tony's repertoire includes all the old jazz standards, and the Vietnamese cuisine at Miss Saigon will make, I think, for a great pairing, especially a big warm bowl of pho on a cold Sunday night. Readers have ranked Miss Saigon for 11 straight years the best Vietnamese restaurant in town. That's why it gets my vote for Weekend Watch.
I was so honored last Sunday, and I know you were honored to be there as well at the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Huge success at the El Conquistador in Oro Valley. I was involved with one of the panels. But there was a big announcement concerning a cruise that you're going to be hosting, I believe, in 2021.
Absolutely. And might I just say, the standing room only session with you and Ryan Anson from Bon Voyage, I learned so much about what makes travel tick in the Buckmaster House. So thank you for sharing your insights with us. But yes, we made the big announcement that day against the backdrop of the Travel Showcase. We're going to be doing another On the Menu Live culinary and cocktail cruise in October of 2021, and Bill, we're going to be setting sail on the beautiful Douro River in the Douro Valley, yep. Portugal and Spain, on the brand new Amadouro ship by Ama Waterways. Now, of course, this is a culinary and cocktail cruise, so all of our excursions and onboard programs are really going to be centered around food and beverage, and with Portugal and Spain as a backdrop, Bill, I really can't think of a more delicious experience. It's a river ship, so there's 102 passengers. The cabins are already being eaten up by your listeners and fans of mine. So on the menulive.com is where all the information is. Click on the cruise link. That'll take you right to the Bon Voyage page. And I tell you what, I don't know that I can wait 20 minutes to go on this cruise.
You hit a home run with that one. Matt, have a great weekend. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Christophon for our original music. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt for getting all those podcasts up in a timely manner. John Couch, engineering, producing. The entire team at Bustos Media Tucson wishes you a safe and pleasant weekend.